This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome on, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. And today we're going to look back at yet another loss. It's not the good start we thought we'd have. Home to Wolves, and then we look forward to probably another must-win game, against Sheffield United on Saturday. Full house today. Colly, Chris and Rich, afternoon, lads.
Hey, lads, how are things?
Hi, lads.
Gentlemen, how are you?
All good, all good. Start with you, Col. I'm actually not, I know it sounds ridiculous, like we've lost three games, but I'm not actually that deflated after that. Obviously, the result, but the performance, it was kind of, I said after the match, it was Fulham 2.0. Like, we did everything but just put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we don't do these pods directly after, because I was in the horror show, to be honest with you, you know. She couldn't even talk to me. And then, in fairness, Dom texts me about the positives, and I'm like, what are you talking about, Dom? There's no positives to that. But look, you know, hindsight's a great thing.
I know he listens to that. Dom's gone on Mother Teresa on us.
In fairness, he made some very good points, and of course, directly after the game, you just don't see it. And then as the few days goes on, but a couple of things that he said are spot on. Like, if we hadn't, the amount of chances that we had, Joe, or whatever the case would be, and, you know, if we weren't making these chances, you'd be worried then, you know, the kind of way. But look, it's extremely disappointing start to the season. I was just actually thinking about this since Saturday. Maybe as a club, we should tell the players we're back in July, that they're actually physically back playing in July, and organise a couple of pre-season games, but tell them it's a league game, because then come August, they might be up to speed, because they don't seem to be able to get straight into it from the start of the season. But unfortunately, yet again, we've thrown 3 points away at home to a team that I would suggest may be in around us at the end of the season, Joe.
Yeah, that's the thing, Chris. Like, we should be winning these games, and it just... It's an ongoing thing, a couple of seasons, if not longer. We just haven't got an out-and-out number nine goal scorer, finisher. And I know your man came in the other day, Beto. We'd see what the start in him is, but that's just really what's missing.
And the annoyance is, as well, is it's a reoccurring thing the last probably 2 years, where we've been coming in underprepared and undercooked into the season, and it feels like we're leaving a lot of points on the table. When the fixtures came out, you know, I think they were relatively kind to us. You would have hoped for minimum 4 points, I guess, from the first few games, 2 winnable home games. And the frustration is, again, due to mismanagement and lack of preparation and, the transfer window, etc. A bit of, you know, bad luck with injuries as well, but that's to be expected. That they're probably two of our more winnable games. You know, and it's the manner of it as well. Although we're creating a lot, and we just, the writing is on the wall. You know, when we don't take our chances, we've too many lapses in concentration, and we just can't seem to dig out a clean sheet at all. We're always liable to switch off or not track a man or give away a silly goal. And it's really frustrating, you know, because again, probably both games, like you said, they were fairly similar. We didn't deserve to lose out of them, in my opinion, and it's small margins, and it's just, again, that quality at the top end of the pitch in the final third has just been letting us down. And, you know, it is disappointing, but again, it's all about how you perceive it. You know, you can look at it from a negative standpoint, which I think 90% of us do. Like, it's 3 games in, no goals, no wins, you know, bottom of the league, fair enough, or you can say, okay, right, it's been a poor start, but I mean, I think things are only going to get better from here. Like, if you add into that team, like you said, Beto, Calvert-Lewin, Iwobi, Coleman, Des Moines McNeil, Jack Harrison, there's 6 players to come back in. I'm sure we're going to add one or two more, be it maybe a winger on loan or another centre-back. So, again, look, I know it's just said about the likes of Iwobi and opinions on them, but just these are players, these are options, and they allow us to kind of be a bit more flexible in our approach. And, you know, with all the wingers fit, maybe Iwobi play central, and that's a bit more his natural position, you know. I know we're a bit hard on him when you're playing on the wing, his end product isn't great, but through the middle, he's probably a bit more useful to us. But there's a good 6-7 players that have to come back into the fold there as well. You don't even know what'll happen with Delhi. You know, I don't think he's going to leave now. He's not fit. So, I mean, whether Deutsch will give him some game time or not, who knows. But, you know, the squad is going to look an awful lot better in a couple of weeks. In an ideal world, we'd be starting off the season mid-August with everyone ready to go for pre-season. But, again, for one reason or another, it's just the way the club has been managing finances, etc. We're trying to structure deals and pay over installments that we just haven't been able to get things done as quickly as we would have liked. But I still think we'll be okay. You know, it's frustrating, but we need to kind of keep cool heads. There's some good signs there. Again, the fixtures that we've had have been favourable enough. But look, at the same time, we've an opportunity now if we can get a good, a comfortable win against Doncaster. And then, you know, if we can go to Sheffield United and win, things are looking good. The international break, we're going to have a good few players back, and players we bring in on deadline day, which I'd imagine be at least one or two. We should be looking in decent stead then, kind of for the restart. Unfortunately, it's Arsenal at home, but sure, look, you never know after last year. So there is signs to be positive. Again, it's how you perceive it. You know, as Collie said, in the heat of moment post-game, you're disgusted, same old crap. But, you know, with a bit of perspective, I think there's definitely teams worse than us based on what we've seen so far, you know.
Yeah. That's the thing, Rich. Like, like sit back and look at it. Now, again, Collie's bang on. Like, Saturday I was there, Jesus, like, this is it, we're gone, we're relegated. But, like, that's just a natural reaction. It's just the way things are. But, and Chris mentioned some of the players there to come in. Like, we're not far off it. All right, the Villa performance was just shocking, and no one played well. But we're not far off it if we can get a full quota of players back.
Yeah, and you need just a little bit of luck and a bit of belief as well. I think there's starting to build now a bit of apprehension about getting the first goal and getting the first point on the board. I think you get that, it just takes the monkey off the back and you play with a bit of freedom. So, you know, that's why I think Doncaster tonight is kind of important. Just fucking let the shackles off. I won't say go full strength, but go very strong, you know, and try to get a few on the board and get fellas involved, get a bit of confidence going. Because as I said, we're doing everything right in those two home games. I think it was 19 and 15 shots to goal with 9 and 7 on target or something like. I mean, it's ridiculous the fact that we didn't, but we said it, that we were selling ourselves short, I think, before the Fulham game. You know, they were going in again without a clinical finisher, you know, can't really depend on Calvert-Lewin. So, you know, we were saying, are we setting ourselves up? And it turned out, you know, here we are 3 weeks later, not a goal scored, not a point on the board. I know it's not as easy as just saying, right, you know, let's go sign someone. But if we could see it 2 or 3 years ago, you know, it's just it's frustration more than anything. I know it's not easy to go and get the players and look there. Hopefully come Thursday night or whenever it is, that we'll be a lot stronger and it's, you know, go back on the lads have to come in. It just gives us that strength and depth as well. You know, making changes late in game, that we didn't have anything kind of massively to come on and impact the game. But if you're bringing on Harrison and McNeil who aren't involved, you know, you've something to drive at them and to put their fullbacks under pressure. And at the minute, we just don't have that strength, and it's probably catching us a little bit too. But just frustration more than anything, again, you know, to get caught, you know, if he said to finish 0-0, at least you hold out, you have a point on the board. I thought it was very, very harsh getting caught there at the debt again.
Yeah, it just comes down to the not being clinical enough on our chances. And you can just see it, the Fulham game, like I said, the two of them were identical. You just knew when we were putting the goal away that it was going to come. And it was just, we get into, not the blame game, but we'll get into goal in a few minutes. A couple of, well, one big positive for me, Collie, was Brantway. I know, like we've been asking, a lot of fans have been asking, give him a go. And people say, oh, he's too young, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And I thought the chap just slotted in perfectly. Comfortable on the ball, wasn't afraid to like come into midfield with the ball and lay a pass off. And I just thought he was excellent.
Yeah, his year on loan last year has really benefited the chap, Joe. I thought he was cool under pressure. He was measured. And unfortunately, from a Michael Keane point of view, he should take the place in beside Tarkowski. And the centre back for me, Joe, young lad, 6'4", big unit, but he can move as well. He's quick across the ground. So yeah, massive positive. And just another positive for me was the other sub that came on towards the end, Shimetti. You know, probably saying the chap's name wrong, Joe, but he looks a good player, that young lad, and I think there's a lot more to come from him as well. But unfortunately, we're still, as you know, we're talking about injuries and stuff like that. I much prefer to see Garner in the middle. I think Garner, if he was in the middle alongside Onana and possibly Decore, would obviously be better suited to him and for us. And hopefully, we might see that now once the international break is over. But no, the top rank weight was excellent. And I know the club have offered him a new contract. Let's hope we can get him tied down, because if he continues on like this for this season, I think there'll be a host of clubs after him come next summer.
Yeah, I think the thing about him, and I hate when people do this, Chris, he was, remind me of John Stones, the way he used to play. Just so comfortable on the ball. I wasn't afraid to look for the ball. Like, you'd see him a couple of times calling Tarkowski, give me the ball. So it's great to see a centre-half like that want to play a bit of football, not just hoofing.
Yeah, I thought he read the game quite well as well. Look, he's a young lad. You get caught out once or twice, but I thought he read the game quite well. He got fairly close to their attackers, and he intercepted and got in front of his man and cut out a few things. He read the game quite well. I think the fact he's left-footed as well adds a good bit of balance to us defensively. He's the only real natural left-footer we have. And it's, you know, when you're kind of playing Tarkowski or Keane or whoever, a right-footed player, left-back, shall we, left-centre-back, it's a bit, it just disrupts the balance. I think you're always given, you have to give them the ball on the turn the whole time. And it just makes it a bit awkward. So it just, for overall balance, but yeah, just a bit of composure on the ball for a young lad. He played the ball out well a couple of times. His height is obviously a big advantage as well. And look, we said last week, he's going to make a few mistakes, but I'd rather him be making them than the likes of a Michael Keane, who isn't going to improve, or Holgate, or Godfrey may well improve. But for argument's sake, the ceiling that Brantwaite has is a lot higher than pretty much all our other options at centre-back. So, I mean, you could excuse him making a couple of mistakes or costing us one or two goals throughout the season. He's going to learn from it and he's going to improve, you know. But when you have the same players who've been there 5-6 years, repetitively making the same mistakes and costing us points and just switching off, and that's just, it's not good enough, you know. And senior players as well. Like, we have quite a young side there, really. You know, when you go through the team, like, whatever you think about players at the moment, how they've started the season, or are they good enough or not? Patterson, he's 21, whatever. Even Mikulenko, fair enough, he might be the best. He's 22. Brantwaite's a kid as well. You know, Onana's only a young lad. James Garner's a young lad. You know, there's Trimiti, as Colm said, he's one for the future, but he looked like he had a good bit about him when he came out for 10, 15 minutes. There's some good young lads, even whether Lewis Dobbin will make it or not, but he's, you know, he's a young lad, give him a chance. There's some good young players there. And, you know, throw in that little bit of blend of experience, and, you know, you need that little bit of balance in the squad. So these lads, you're going to develop and are only going to get better as the years go by. But like I said last week, unfortunately, we're in a situation where the longer we go without points, the pressure is going to increase, and the more unrest and the questions going to be asked of the manager and the players, and that just builds and builds, and it feels like a continuation of last year, and we may not have really time to develop these players. But, you know, look, that's another gone off topic a little bit, but look, Brantwaite, I mean, based on his performance, he should be keeping his place, and he should be in line for at least the United game. If, as expected, he'll make some changes for the Doncaster game, he may leave him out, give Godfrey a run or whatever, but I think he's done enough to earn his position for the Sheffield game, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's the key as well, Rich, that it, Chris is absolutely spot on, and he mentioned it last week, that if the young players make mistakes, there's scope for them to learn from it, and not to, again, for us not to hammer them as a fan base, but and like Chris said, the likes of Keane and so on, like, if they haven't learned by now, there's no point in playing them. But the likes of Brantway, Patterson, Dobbin, all these lads, they make a mistake, just give them a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, I think the key is once they're learning from it, you know, in order to be able to learn from it, you need to play games. So it's giving them the opportunity to say, right here, go and make the mistake, or, you know, go and show that you're not going to make the mistake, whichever one it is. But yeah, look, Brantford, I thought he settled in really, really well. He was really comfortable on the ball, as you said, just assured and, you know, looking to move with it as well. I think he just has to be given game time now and try to build up that partnership. You know, it's about kind of getting to know Tarkowski, if that's who he's going to be playing beside, and trying to give him time to get to know one another and familiarise it, and the whole back four, even if that's what you're looking at, be it Mikulenko or Ashley Young kind of beside him as well, trying to build that up. And it takes time. You can't just be chopping and changing, kind of not in those positions. You think of any of the successful teams throughout the years that they've had stability in with their centre halves, especially, you know. I think the way things were lining up, it was always going to be Keane that started, but I don't think we expected him to be turfed out, you know, after two games. You know, I think it was always going to be a matter of time, but I think it's probably happened a bit kind of sooner than we expected. But it is, and I think that's full indictment on him as well, you know. So, you know, it's up to Brantwaite now, I suppose, just to keep plugging along. You know, you're not expecting kind of massive things, but he was really good. It'd be a threat in both boxes as well, you know, given his height was unlucky, you know, just couldn't get a bit of power in the header as well. So, you know, mentioned that it's a young side, but we've kept being a big side as well. And I just think we need to be a little bit more, you know, strange to say it about a dice side, but we need to be better on set pieces, you know. Having seven or eight corners again the weekend and done absolutely nothing with him, really. So just need to be building on that. But on his performance, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. Like I said, don't be spectacular. Don't be like a worldy every game. Just be solid. That's all you want from your centre-halves, basically. And then, like I said, get on the end of something at the other end. But it just didn't happen. Two of the other changes we called for Colley, obviously were made. Dobbin and Danjuma, I thought they done okay. Dobbin, again, he made himself busy without being spectacular. But Danjuma, now I know he nearly scored, but I think it would have been offside only. But he looks a player, like a busy player. That's all you want. Your front lads to be movement, not just static.
Yeah, totally agree with you in relation to Dobbin. I thought he started well, kind of faded as the game went on. But look, you know, we've already spoken, he's a young lad. Danjuma, I much prefer him out in the wing. I think that's his natural position. And I think once he gets a goal, I think he'll go on and he'll get another half dozen at least for us over the course of the season. Good player. Very, very quick player and very clever player in some ways, Joe. So, I can see Danjuma being a regular starter for us, that's for sure. I don't know about Dobbin, obviously it depends on who we bring in or if we bring in anyone before Friday. But Dobbin, he's really done himself good over the pre-season with Dyche. And, you know, Dyche was quite, you know, he appreciated the work that Dobbin did. And look, I've been calling for this for a while now. We seem to be the only club that doesn't bring through young lads or certainly give them a chance. And fairness to Dobbin, he's getting a chance and he's after taking it. So, let's hope he goes on and kicks on. I'd like to see him with the squad, but again, it depends on who or if we bring in anyone by Friday. And if he does go out on loan, that's a good loan for the chapter. He will get game time rather than sitting on a bench.
Yeah, I think he's done enough to stay, Chris, for me, because I know, like Colley said, Danjuma, if Beto hits the ground running, Danjuma will be pushed probably out to the left-hand side. But I think Dobbin has done enough to like be kept in around the squad. And again, it might be totally up to him. He might want to go out and get like full-on game time, go out alone for the season. But I think he's done enough to keep his place.
With everybody fit, it's interesting to kind of see, you know, how we line up or what his first choice 11 will be, whether it's two up front or he persists with kind of one up front and one off the striker. I mean, you would think his match as wingers when everyone's fit would be McNeil off the left and possibly Harrison on the right. So that leaves, where does Danjuma play? Because as Colm said, he's not really an out-and-out striker to me. I think he's He looks most dangerous coming in off the left. He can go down the line and come inside. He's quite tricky and he gets into good areas. But I don't think he is that natural finisher. I know whether offside or not, the one he missed against Fulham when he ran through, he hit wide, could have been offside. And then even the one the weekend there, that eventually hit the post. It was a poor effort, really. The keeper pammed it onto the post. He doesn't seem to have that natural. Again, we're basing him off two appearances, so maybe we're prejudging. But just based off what we've seen so far, you know. So, but at the same time, this, you know, you've seen a few people mention, is he eyeing up Dwight McNeil for that number 10 role and putting Danjuma on the left? And where does Iwobi fit in if he's not Souls when everyone's fit? So how do you fit Garner, Ghana, Decore, Onana into a midfield, whether it's a two or, you know? So it's great to just have these options. And, you know, we're going to pick up injuries like we always do. And it's good to have players that can play kind of across the, you know, between the wings and up top. But I think Dobbin should definitely be kept. You definitely need at least two players for each position. And in an ideal world, we actually wouldn't get knocked out with the cups in the first round as well. And, you know, you need to kind of rotate a little bit. The likes of Dobbin have something to prove, the bit between their teeth. So it's all about balance, you know. Again, games like Doncaster, where Dobbin would be quite useful. He's playing against players that, you know, he did well at Derby in the Championship. So he's playing against a team tonight, which are two divisions lower. So he should be shining in games like that, you know. And you can give your more senior players a rest. So I definitely keep him around. He definitely has something to prove. And he's probably earned a place in the squad based on how he's trained through pre-season and how he's sort of started in the minutes we've seen him so far. You know, you need a squad. I mean, there's stages last year we were having three goalkeepers warming the bench, and we had no striking options. We'd three or four centre-backs and a Tom Davis on the bench. So, you know, it's great to finally have a bit of strength and depth.
Yeah, I think that's the key, Chris, and Chris is spot on. We haven't had this for two, three, maybe longer, like a matching bench, if you know what I mean.
Where Alex,
if a player comes off, the player who comes on is as good, if not even better. We just don't have that depth.
But it's just balance as well, having the right players in the right position. As I said, having three keepers and three centre halves, and you know, and someone else just turfed in for the sake of it. Whereas, you know, we have a couple of options now. I mean, the squad has been poor for a number of years, so I think it's not something that can be fixed overnight and getting that strength in. But it seems like, look, the groundwork has begun, and it gives a lot of hope as well. You know, I suppose it's a starting point. If you said that you have the players there, I think given where we are, you know, you're not a million miles away, and you've a lot of players to come back in. If you're saying that you've six or seven starters that are yet to come into the squad, and hopefully we'll add another one or two as well who'll just push everybody and hopefully push up the standards. That's what you want, and that's how you improve. So it's about time, you know, that has improved. But it's, you know, I think it's almost forced on us as well, because you're looking at two games now, you know, that you have your first 60 or 65, and then you have your final 25 plus 10 minutes injury time as well. You need options. You need, you know, you need to be able to bring fellas in. So I'm probably not as convinced on Dobbin. I just think he's a little bit lightweight. Thought he struggled, you know, was busy on the ball and everything, but didn't do a whole lot of damage. Felt he got stopped by Semedo a lot, you know. And I think just more game time. I think he'd be very limited at what he could do. He might get 10 minutes here and there, but I think he might benefit from going out. And maybe it's a case of keep him until January and see is he getting game time, and maybe let him out in January. But I think he needs a run of games. And if he's not going to get it with us, he's only going to improve by, you know, he's still young to benefit from another loan and maybe come back. Because remember, Harrison is only on loan, Danjuma is only on loan. And if he can get games and get up to speed for next season, you know, rather than sitting playing 10 minutes here and there and getting pissed off that you might have a better player coming back. But again, it's all up in the air at present, because we can't tell the future.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, it's similar to square pegs and round holes. He's more suited to play through the middle, but is he too light to go through the middle? That's, again, it's just questions that we won't know until we see him get game time, which I don't think he's going to get now. It might be just a bench player with the players coming in and strikers and Dan Gioma going out there. But again, time will tell. Just getting into a couple of the big moments, similar to the Fulham game, Colly. I thought Wolves keeper just probably had one of his best games like ever. And but the save he pulled off from the Corey was, I just couldn't believe how he was actually going into the net and put his hand back out, flicked it over the crossbar. Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked all really, Joe, isn't it? But well, didn't the Fulham keeper get man the match against us? And
he did. Yeah.
He got man the match. So, yeah, it was a good save. And, you know, they're just winning it over the line, isn't it? obviously, Pickford came up with that terrific save. But, yeah, it just seems to be a look at the moment. But, again, you know, hindsight's a great thing. In a few days of non-Everton football, kind of watching, always kind of reset your brain, and you know we're not that far away, Joe, and that was a super safe, and you got to hand it to him. You know, he spread himself well, and obviously as you said, you rightly said, he was going the wrong way, and he managed to get himself back and push it away. You know, then I know you probably touch off this with the other lads. I kind of a bit annoyed at Pickford for their goal.
We had this conversation last week about Pickford kind of
felt he could have come out, Joe.
Switching off. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the ball was in his area. It was there to be claimed. And he probably should have either punched or he doesn't catch the ball. But you know, I think he should have levelled all players in front of him to get the ball, but he didn't. Then obviously a man popped up and scored his first goal forever for Wolves. Another typical Everton story, isn't it, really? But look, it is what it is. But no, just going back to their goalkeeper. He is a good goalkeeper, but I just wish the next opposition we played, our goalkeeper was horrendous and like worst in the world, you know?
Yeah, just listen, I have Pickford written down. Again, I don't want to start lashing Pickford, Chris, because he's been probably one of our better players, if not the best player in the last two or three seasons. But he's gone back to the way he was. He has this rush of blood to the head. Like he did it just before he pulled off that great save Colley's talking about. And I mentioned this at the very first podcast. He doesn't have the armband now after when Coleman's in play. And I hope it doesn't affect him. And I'll say the same again. He just seems to have gone back to this, just come out all guns blazing. And then on the flip side, I had a conversation with a fella on Sunday. He doesn't command his box. Like Colley said, that ball comes in the other box, the key comes out, catches it. Pickford doesn't have that in his game, maybe because of his height as well, but he just needs to press this reset button that we had before. I think Richie mentioned it was go to the water bottle or something like that. He had this little reset thing, but again, I don't want to start bashing, but he seems to be going back to his old ways.
Yeah, it's probably because there's one or two goals in the last couple of games. Certainly the mistake against Villa, the penalty was a fucking brain fart. But look, again, there's so many, like, with goals were given away, the Wolves goal, I mean, fair enough, Pickford could have come out and even punched it or caught it and commanded his area. Or you could say Patterson didn't track his man or Tarkowski, you know, neither of them were picking the man up or should the cross be stopped at source. That's the one kind of thing I don't like about how we play. We always play, and it's just a dice thing, really narrow. So every time we play, you know, when the ball is over on the far side of the field, everyone is squeezing the play, and then the idea is when the switch, we're openly leaving ourselves open to the quick switch of play, and that's forcing the fullback and everyone else to have to shift over. And, you know, oftentimes our fullbacks are getting left one-on-one with their wing. So you've done it well with Burnley, you know. But there's times in games that we're just way off the mark and we're allowing balls into the box. And I think when we have the likes of Tarkowski, Kane, even Brantwaite there, he's fairly confident of us dealing with pretty much anything that comes in aerially, because that's one of their strengths, winning the ball in the air. So we always tend to kind of let balls come into the box as opposed to not being played through. We're happy to let the play be, the ball be sent out wide and let opposition get balls in, and we're fairly confident that we'll deal with it in the air, which more often than not we do, to be fair. And even defensively, set pieces, we've been fairly, you know, we've been fairly all right. But just momentary lapses of concentration cost us when you're playing. Mm. It's a risky game, really, you know. And obviously, there's always periods where we get lost and we get in the midfield in transition. We turn the ball over through silly passes or miscontrol. Technically, we're poor and everyone's out of position and stuff. But every goal, you could pick probably two or three sources where it could have been prevented. And especially with us, it seems to, like a calamity of errors when we give away a goal. Going back to Villa last week, you know, many mistakes that we make, and they get worse as the goals were going in. But look, yeah, we shouldn't be letting the crosses in. It should be stopped at source. The defence should be, you know, dealing with it when it comes into the box, or Pickford should be coming. Lack of communication. And unfortunately, we just seem to be kind of getting punished for every sort of little mistake we're making. Mm. I think we haven't had a whole lot of luck, really, in the first few games as well, you know. Fair bad finishing, but on another day against Fulham, Patterson's goes in off the underside of the bar, or Dan Juma's one goes in off the post and we find ourselves a goal up, or and it was at a goal margin offside, but Decore is it, you know, a couple of inches back and his goal's offside. Yeah. So I just think the small things have kind of gone against us at the first couple of games, and like you said yourselves, we just kind of need that little bit of a break, that little goal. Hopefully that'll just kind of kickstart us into gear and get the confidence up and just give everybody a little bit of a lift, you know. And once we go ahead, we something to hold on to, and then we have something to play. It's a different game then. We can play counter-attacking football, and you know, that's, you know, the way it is. But yeah, look, we need a little bit of luck, something to go our way, because, you know, we're creating chances, we're getting good opportunities, and it's just not happening for us at the minute. But again, with all the players to come back in, if we keep creating, you'd be fairly confident that things are going to look up, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll go into the game tonight. I think, Rich, this is like a confidence booster more than anything else. We need, I don't know, I like you said earlier, I would go strong. I would play probably the same team as last week, to be honest, and just get goals and get lads scoring and get the heads right, and just and then on the flip side, if it's a banana skin, if we lose, well, the confidence is even lower than it is already. But I would go full head on and just get stuck in.
Yeah, I go very, very minimal changes. I think it's important that we get that early goal, you know, put the game to bed, and let the fellas who are starting, who have played the last few games, let them get the confidence, you know. Mm. It's badly needed. You know, I think these are bottom of League Two, you know, it's the bottom of the football pyramid. So we need to be going and, you know, just putting a mark on it and saying, right, kickstarting our season from today, and let's get the thing rolling. Go fairly strong and get them out of there after an hour, you know. Yeah. Game is won, whatever you need to do, you know, and you can rest then, you know. Sheffield United the weekend, that there's still a good break, so there should be no reason for fellas not to be kind of ready to go. Maybe bring in Chimiti, might get a start. I don't think he'll start better, but other than that, I'd be going fairly strong. Maybe give Godfrey a run, but apart from that, I wouldn't be changing a whole pile, you know. Yeah. I'd be of the same mind, go strong. Sorry, I know you want to speak about tonight, but just on Decore's chance and Saz's save kind of the weekend, it was an unbelievable save. But there's no way he should have been let make the save. He should have buried him. The whole lot should have been put through the net. Like, I just can't believe, you know, he headed it with the top of his head, or what he did
I think it looked like, looking back again, like I said, hindsight, it looks like he got there a little bit late, and that was the why he went into the ground. But
it's just no technique.
We could have side-footed it, like.
Yeah, I think he got mixed because he got there just a slight little bit late. He said, "Jeez, what do I do? Arse hits, arse elbow. What do I do here?" But again, going back to the point we all made, a proven striker, like you said, just buries that in the back of the net.
Keeper and everything shouldn't be giving him the option to make the save. Five yards out.
We'll just do a quick prediction for tonight, Collie.
Oh, jeez. Banana skin, Joe. My head goes draw after 90 minutes and losing penalties, but my heart will go 3-1 Everton.
Okay, well, turn your head to going absolutely because I'm not taking that. I'm not having that. Chris?
We win 3-2 after extra time.
Come on, lads. Reese, you banged me out here, man.
4-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4-0. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think
there's
extra time, though, tonight, isn't there?
No, there's no extra time.
So I'm going to go 4-0. That's it. And I like that. Just hit them early, bang, bang, bang. Make a couple of changes after an hour or so. And then on the other side, if you go 3-up, you can give lads who you want to have a look at a run out, like Cannon, the likes of these, Mikulenko.
I don't know whether Cannon be involved tonight, Joe.
He's totally out of his thinking altogether. But it's a chance for these lads on the side that if we go and just get, like I said, 3 or 4 up, take it easy. Right, lads, come on. Let's see what you have. Let's see what you want to do. But yeah, I'm going to go for it.
I think you're looking at probably Virginia and go. Mikulenko will start in 8 minutes. Ben Godfrey will start. Maybe right back. You have to rest Patterson with no one else.
I think you take Garner out as well.
Yeah, James Garner probably start. Maybe central. Dobbin on the right. I think Danjuma needs minutes as well. He'd probably play left. Shamiti up top. Just the midfield. You're going to have to play one of Decorey and Onana. One of them, and I don't know, maybe Mopay will probably play off Tremiti, maybe, but whatever way he wants,
take a goal off the
whatever way he sets up. We're still tight.
Yeah, right. We're going then. Listen, the weekend, Carly. This is just I know we kind of it's early days, but this is must win because, like Richard said, these are the teams that are going to be around us near the end of the season. So we just have to go there and. Minimum, like absolute bare minimum, get a point.
Yeah, we do, Joe. We need to be going into the international break with something on the league table. You know, not going to be an easy game. They did actually quite well against City, and they certainly weren't overran by City. That's for sure. Home in on their turf up against one of our old players. The crowd is up well up for this game. They realise that they're playing against another possible relegation team as well as them. I think it's going to be a very difficult game, unfortunately, Joe, for us. I think it'll be nothing pretty, that's for sure. I don't think there'll be a bag load of goals. But we've got a fight. And I think it will come down to Sean Dyche, whether he feels that both Beto or Calvert-Lewin is fit, or Dyche, should we say, to start this game. Because again, unfortunately, if Maupay starts, I don't think we can get anything out of it.
Yeah, I think I call these types of games blood and snots, Chris, and that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be on match of day first. It's just going to be who wants it more. That's what's going to come down to. And listen, we're just, and again, I'm repeating myself, it's early days, but we just have to get something out of this game.
Like on paper, I don't really recognise most of the team, bar maybe Traore. I think, isn't John Egan play centre-back for them now?
Yeah.
I think he's playing centre-back for them. Like on paper, they look like championship level. And I'm not saying we don't either, but they have, you know, they've been not only narrowly beaten in the 3 games. It's like City again, like you mentioned, it was only 2-1. They put on a good showing. They were beaten 2-1 at Forest. They lost 1-0. Home to Palace in their first game, so they're only getting narrowly beaten. They're not rolling over or lying down. And as Colley said, at home, they'll probably fancy their chances against us. They're still riding off the wave of kind of being promoted for the first time in a few years, and you always get that going to a newly promoted team where it's, you know, they're boisterous, the atmosphere is quite good, the novelty is there for them again, being back in the Premier League. So with the players we're missing, you know, it's going to be square pegs and round holes again. It's going to be a difficult, difficult game. But look, I mean, if we can go, like, again, at Goodison, and I know we're not getting the results, but the performance levels at home compared to away for years have been chalk and cheese. We can't afford to go in and just put on a stinker and Dyche coming out after and the lads went up for it today, or as one of those days, the collective days, they happen. They're happening every time we go away. It can't keep happening. Yeah. They have to stand up and, you know, make themselves just be leaders and stand up when shit hits the fan and go and get tough in a game. We can't just drop our head and shrug our shoulders and point the fingers and go into our shells. You know, getting the first goal would be huge. It would silence them a bit and put pressure on them and give us something to hold on to and give our supporters a lift as well. But no, it won't be easy. No game is easy when you're Everton. You know, if we always snatch fucking any way to throw a game away that's possible, we'll find a way, you know. So yeah, I'm actually going to it myself, me and Derek. So
okay,
let's hope we can do the business. Beto can get the winning goal into the away end, and we'll toddle off for a 2-week break with a smile on our face for a change. And then look, we said players to come back then after the break, and all of a sudden things are looking up. You know, it can change very quickly, but unfortunately for us, it generally doesn't.
Yeah, but again, it just has to change quickly, especially like scoring, like just get a goal. I think, Rich, like I said, it's going to be a horrible, horrible game, and we just need to show that little bit of quality that we have. Like, there is quality there, and maybe some lads to have the quality are low on confidence, but we just have to start somewhere by putting their footprint on the game.
Yeah, I suppose you're always kind of looking for the next game to say, right, let's just kick start, you know, the same as we'd be doing tonight, and hopefully we can kind of build on that. It's vital that we get something out of it, you know. We just can't go into the break on the back of four defeats. I think that should be motivation enough. But, you know, you look at the games that we've had so far, they're three games that we lost last season. So I wouldn't say we're not any worse off than we were last season. But, you know, yeah, this is a game that we have to be winning. We've been really poor against promoted sides in recent years. You know, it's something we have to put right. And I think if we can win this, you know, you get an away win on the board, you get a win on the board, you get a couple of goals on the board, it can really, I won't say kickstart us, but it's step one, you know. So it's really important. I think we can't be too downhearted, like, as a squad, you know, given the performance, and got to look at it. And I think a few new arrivals as well. And look, obviously they'll be in the same boat. I'm sure that they'll be kind of strengthening and saying, right, they were unlucky against City. But ultimately, look, I don't think they have any great aspirations of staying in the division, given the business that they've done. It's just to kind of plow on, see how they get on. And it's really up to us to kind of put our mark on it. You know, they'll make it difficult to apply, but you expect that against all promoted teams early in the season when you play them. But ultimately, we should, if we don't have enough quality to be beating these, that's when you really start to worry. You know, home away, no matter where it is. So you're just hoping that we will have maybe one or two more back as well on Saturday, and that we'll be able to kind of get it done.
Yeah. Fingers, toes crossed, like I said. Right, we'll go around the houses for predictions. Colly?
Jesus. I'm going to let the heart go with this one, Joe. I'm going to go 2-1 to Everton, but I don't think it will be. I think it will be.
Covering all bases.
Yeah, this is it, yeah. Just in case. Now, I hope this prediction league, by the way, are you still catching that, Rich?
I haven't been, no, but I can do it. Right. We're only three games.
You have to have a separate special for Colin's predictions, because he hasn't been clear what he's fucking going for. Right, Chris?
1-1.
1-1. Right, Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Colin. I'm going to go 2-1 Everton.
I'm going to go 1-1. Again, like I said, this isn't going to be a match today or on any classic match rails. I think we'll go 1-0 for us.
I think Beto gets off the score sheet as well. I think he's
going to... I think Karkowski is just going to be a stinking, rotten, horrible game.
They tend to line up, sorry, Joe. They've been going kind of three at the back. I wonder will we kind of go like for like. Maybe he'll kind of go bring Kane in, Brantway, and Tarkowski maybe, and use Patterson and Young as wing-backs, which I think would suit Patterson a lot more as well.
Possibly, and, yeah. But then where do you put Garner?
There you go. There's different options there, you know. I don't know. You don't know what Dyche. He's going to pick the conservative, safe route anyway, whatever he thinks. Stay in the game as long as we can. Don't concede and then try and score. That's the way it is every game.
Well, Yeah, the key to actually getting somewhere is actually scoring a goal, lads. So it's not rocket science.
Law of averages. I'm not going to go four games without scoring. The problem is keeping the ball over our own net.
This you jinxed it now, Chris.
Right, Chris, have a good trip, you and the boys.
Thanks, bud.
Bye, lads. Hopefully a good win tonight. Like I said, a big confidence booster going into Saturday, and then another win, and then that's it. We're back in the title race. Right, boys. See you all next week.
Take care, boys.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.